It's good to be back. I was in Swift Current last week. I got to share there. A different pastor, Paul, pastors there, and he was away speaking, so he'd asked me to fill in for him. So it was fun to go there, and it's a blessing to be back. And just so thankful. You know, I love seeing the kids running around and worship. There's something about that that just helps. It's almost like it reminds you, hey, come like a child, you know? And so I love that. And this morning, I just want to continue talking about the theme that my dad has had, been talking about as far as being set apart. And set apart for the Lord, set apart for Him. And my dad actually asked me if I'd talk about money. So we're going to talk about money this morning, being set apart. You know, when I think about being set apart for the Lord, it means everything. God asks for everything, doesn't He? If we're going to make Him Lord of our life, it means that He has to have every area. It means He has to have my whole heart and everything that I own and everything that I am. Every relationship that I'm a part of, my marriage, my kids, I have to be able to say, God, they're yours. I have to be able to say, God, I give you my past, just like we just prayed. Because sometimes we really want to hold on to that stuff and it wrecks our future. I have to be able to say, God, I give you the way I talk, the way I act, because if made Him Lord of my life, I should live differently, shouldn't I? If I'm set apart for Him, it's going to look different. The way I treat people, the way I talk to people, and the way that I live. Because I'm going to live like I believe, right? And so part of that is our money. I should actually live differently with my money as a Christian, as a person who believes. Amen? So don't run away. Don't cringe. Don't be afraid. Do you know Jesus actually talked about money a lot? More than heaven and hell. More than healing, He talked about money. I think they say about 15 to 20% of His teaching dealt with money. Because Jesus knew that money was a big deal then, and it's a big deal to us now, isn't it? And we need money. We need money to live. We need money to have the houses and the vehicles and the food and play sports and all the stuff that we do to have life. We need money. So it's not that we should shy away from it. It's not that we shouldn't talk about it. It's actually more important that we do talk about it and that we do have an understanding of money and what it is and what it isn't and what it should be in our life. God knew that it was important to talk about money because money can easily become a god to all of us. I don't think it matters who we are. At some point, we've struggled with that. Money likes to be number one. The way we use money is a direct representation of what is going on in our heart. So money takes on the personality of its owner. Did you know that? Money is an identity thing. It's a spiritual thing. As much as it's a physical thing that you hold, it has everything to do with our heart and our attitude and how we see the Father and how we see Him looking at us. Does that make sense? So I have like 4 sermons worth of stuff. And I really honestly have struggled with where to go with this, but I really felt one just overall theme. So I'm just going to talk till I'm done. Hope you're free till 3. You're laughing now. Here's what I felt God put on my heart for this morning. Do you trust Him? Do you really trust Him? Can you trust Him even with your money? Because I'll be honest, sometimes, I wrestle with this sometimes. If I was totally honest, I would say, okay, there's a lot of times, Lord, in my life where I've said, God, I believe that You're my Savior. I believe You're my Lord. But I've got this backup plan over here in case You don't follow through, if I'm totally honest. And I have a level of trust in my bank account or in my backdoor plan in case whatever. Anybody been there? And I just felt, and maybe it's just me, but when I was praying, I just felt like God was saying, can You trust Me completely with every penny? Can You trust Me? Can You trust Me with every area of your life? Can You trust Me beyond your investments and your RRSPs and your bank account and your house and all the stuff that you might have? Can You trust Me? That's a hard question. But that's what God was speaking to me, so I'm just giving it to you. And I hope you ponder it. I hope you think about that. If you really believed that God was Lord of your finances, How would you treat your finances differently than what you are right now? It's really quiet. Money is one of the top reasons for divorce, one of the top reasons for depression, one of the top reasons for stress. It can be an incredibly powerful tool, and it can be a terrible thing that pulls you away from God. But if I know that I'm a child of God and I trust Him as a good Heavenly Father and I can trust Him with everything, I will look at money in my life differently. Differently than what the world around me says and shows me to believe. I will understand that God wants me to be generous, that God is my provider, He's my source, and what He gives me freely, I'm to freely give. But I'm not to hold on to, I can't take, and neither can you, our money with us when we die. But I can have a heart of wealth to leave a legacy for my kids and my grandkids. I can hopefully pour into them and teach them not to have a heart of, or a spirit of poverty in their life. To try and hoard, to try and keep everything, to try and get, because we're never going to have enough. But hopefully I can teach them to trust in a good father, to look after their needs. See, the reason that the love of money is so dangerous is because it gives us a poverty mindset. That God is not good enough to provide for all my needs. That I'll never quite have enough. What if this happens? Would God actually follow through? Would He actually care for me? Like, I think if we're honest, those things are there. And so we have to battle that. It's important to understand this morning that you are not losing something when you invest in the kingdom of God. When you invest in what God calls you to give toward, when He calls you to pour into somebody, to help the widow or the orphan, to help the poor, to whatever that is, you are not losing. Sometimes in the moment you think, oh, this costs. You know what? God has a really big bank account. And when the Bible says that when we give to the poor, we actually lend to the Lord. Did you know that? It says that in Proverbs. And His interest rate is really good. Really good. God controls every resource. God controls every resource. And so we need to go to trust Him. I saw this article this last week. I think it was on Facebook. Fatine, I don't know if you know who that is, but she has a wonderful ministry, and she started a TV show this year, and she interviews people about different topics, and they talked about this a little bit as well, but I think it was Myers-Norris Penney had done some kind of a study in December, and they came out saying that close to 50% of all Canadians are within $200 of dissolvency. That's crazy. Okay? And it said 56% in Saskatchewan, so we're even higher than the average. The Bank of Canada has identified personal debt as the biggest debt to our Canadian economy. And in a spiritual sense, how can we help the poor? How can we go after the dreams that God puts before us if we overspend to the point where we have nothing left to even give? So that's a challenge for us. Bill Johnson says, God's creation was made to give. The trees give oxygen. The sun gives light and heat, and we are the only part of His creation that actually have a choice. But we are called to give. So let me ask you this question. Is money evil? No, it's not actually. It's actually totally neutral. But the Bible says, you can put this up there, 1 Timothy 6, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money will lead you astray. The love of money will take your eyes off of Jesus and on what's going on around you. It'll put fear in your heart. It'll cause you to not trust people around you. It'll cause you to fall into that poverty mindset. So the love of money is dangerous. It's also powerful too. We need money. If we want to build orphanages, it takes money. If we want to send missionaries to reach unreached people, it takes money. If we want to bless this community, it takes money. So money can be good and it can be bad. It's the love of it that gets us into trouble. It's money in itself is not inherently evil. I was reading a book by Chris Valton this last week called, what's it called? Poverty, Riches, and Wealth? And really good book, if you have a chance to read it or if you want to borrow it. But he says this, why would God describe heaven so lavishly if wealth were bad? Or even bad for you? Can you imagine God describing heaven as a place filled with opium fields, heroin factories? No. Because drugs, inherently as a substance, are bad for you. And they cause destruction. That's not the condition with wealth. That's why God describes that. Chris Brown says, throughout the Bible, both the impoverished and the wealthy are considered godly. Job very well could have been the wealthiest person in the world during his time, but the Bible is clear that he was a godly man. When he lost everything, God even replaced it twofold. In fact, sometimes those who were materially blessed, like Job, were also blessed by God with the power to carry out his work. God clearly doesn't equate money to evil. And it's very true. So it's not if you have money that matters. It's if money has you. God is not opposed to you having money. He's opposed to money having you. People like Abraham, Solomon, and there's actually several. I just don't have time to go into it today. But several people, God actually made rich. Abraham, people offered Abraham money. He said, no, I don't take anything from you, because then people could say that you made me rich when it was God. Solomon asked for wisdom. And God said, I'm thankful you didn't ask for money. Here you go. I'll give it to you anyway. Now, we all have heard the prosperity gospel, and I know that sometimes what's dangerous is we take all of, when we see stuff that's abused, we take it all and we throw it out. None of it's good. But the fact is, that's in the Bible, some of this stuff. So you can't ignore it all. Yes, it can be abused, and yes, it can be taken out of context and too far, but hear me this morning that it's important to understand that God uses wealth in our lives. I think of Jesus, and he performed miracles to help people get cash. Have you ever thought about that? Think of Jesus telling his disciples to go out after a night of fishing in Luke chapter 5. This wasn't like fun for them. This was their job. This was their business. And they had a bad night, and he sends them out. And they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they went from zero to being incredibly blessed. In a moment's notice. God gave them that. Okay? That's the God we serve. Guess what happens sometimes when you need a breakthrough? Guess who can come through for you? Guess who has all the fish, all the cattle, all the customers that you need? So guess where you need to trust? Not in the money, in God. Okay? This is an example of Jesus blessing people. All right, this was their business. This was their livelihood. How about the story in John chapter 21, where Jesus tells his disciples, cast your net on the other side. So they cast the net on the other side, and again, they get loaded down with fish. What's he doing? He's blessing them. Not just with stuff to eat, but financially, that's their business. Yeah. So I want this to be clear to you, that God is there because he loves you, and he wants to help you. And don't get stuck relying on your bank account or what's going on around you. In a moment's notice, when our heart is fully trusted to him, he can provide stuff out of nowhere. And he's good at doing it in the most creative ways. Matthew 17, I love this story. You know, they have to pay taxes. So Jesus instructs them to go down and catch a fish and pull out a gold coin and go pay their taxes. Now, did Jesus send that fish to the bottom of the sea to find a shipwreck and bite on a coin? Did he create the coin in its mouth? I don't know. What I do know is that when you need something, Jesus can provide it. And he'll do it really creatively sometimes. And clearly from these stories, Jesus loves fishing. I don't know. He loves hanging out at the lake, something. But there's a lot of stories about fishing. All right? And there's a lot of stories about creativity. There's a lot of ways that Jesus provides in creative ways. I think it's Psalm 50 verse 10. It says that he owns a cattle on one hill, on 1,000 hills. When you read the story of Solomon, he made Solomon a billionaire. Multi-billionaire. When they weigh out the amount of gold and stuff they even used on the temple, it talks about them being sick of silver. They didn't know what to do with it. And they spent billions just on building the temple. That means he was rich. And it was a blessing that God put on him. When Jesus multiplied food to to 5,000 men plus women and children. That's probably roughly like an NHL stadium today, 15,000, 20,000 people. He turned a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Instantly, he was able to feed everyone. Normally, that would take a lot of money. But see, heaven's economy is different than ours. Right? And so, we need to learn this very important principle. God is your source. Luke 12:31 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you some of what you need, part of what you need, everything, everything that you need." Do you know that when you hear scriptures like that and promises like that, you can pray them and you can declare them and you can remind God of them all day long and say, "God, you promised me this, and I am standing on your promise and I'm declaring it and I'm praying because I need breakthrough in this area." But we can take it to the bank. He's there for us. He's a good father. And he is our provider. It may not always look like what you expect. Not many of us would expect to go catch a fish with money in it. But it'd be cool if we did. I love how the Passion Translation puts that verse. "Each and every day, he will supply your needs as you seek his kingdom passionately above all else." There's something about your heart being full on for God. And it's like it puts us in a position to receive all that he has for us. Because we can actually trust him when he says, "Go fish." Otherwise, you'd be like, "God, I got to go work," you know? Do you have that video, Wayne? If it works, it works. If not, I'll share the story. But I was thinking about this testimony that we recorded. It's on our website, the church's website, of Lexi and Morgan from several years ago. But this is just such a cool illustration of how God can provide out of nowhere. Just simple faith. So let's just see if this works. Even if you don't have to maximize it, just play it. Isn't that good? Do you know if God can do that for them, he can do it for you? I don't know if you got that. But did you know that God can do that for you, just like he did for them. No, do you believe that? Do you get that? Okay? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no respecter of persons. He will do the same. That's his heart. That's his character. Okay? We got to trust. We got to learn. P.S., shameless little plug. I've been asking for a long time to get people to give their testimonies. Do you know how powerful that is, just to be able to have that up there? I have a video camera that I'm going to start bringing to church. I'm going to start bugging people. Actually, a little while ago, this is honest to God. God has told me several times we need to get the testimonies from what he's done in this church out there. And we laugh about it, but actually he wants his glory to be released out there. And we talk about reaching our community. This is a way we can take it to the community. Simple. So easy. I do a Facebook Live thing. We get like 1,000 people from town watch it. Okay? It's better than anything you put in the paper. We can use technology. We need to get better. And so I'm asking you, this is just a shameless side plug, okay? Start thinking about the stories, the times in your life that God has done something. We want to make 1, 2, 3 minute little videos to be able to release like every month. And just, what has God done in your life? I don't even care if it's 10 years ago or if it was this week or whatever, but let's just give him glory. Amen? So think about that. And anyway, but this is what can happen, okay? That encourages our faith because of what we just saw, okay? And so, anyway, Dad, you might have to give me another Sunday. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, honestly, there's so much scripture about money, you could just stand here for 45 minutes and read scripture, and it would preach to you without me saying much. But no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Okay? Did you hear that? You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I love this scripture, okay? This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. So then it goes on in verse 31 to say, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of who? So if you're a believer, what does that mean? It's kind of a punch in the gut, isn't it? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God. Again, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Like that just preached the whole sermon all by itself. Do you struggle with worry? Do you struggle with doubt? I wanted to talk about another story, but maybe we'll leave it. I want to skip to generosity. If you have time this week, read Mark 10, verses 17 to 28, the rich young ruler, if you have time, because it really fits with this too, and it applies to our culture. You know, the young guy had tried to do everything to earn his way into the kingdom, but he still held on to money. And Jesus even lovingly just said, you've got to let go of that. And it applies to our culture, because we have so much, and we've began to trust in our bank accounts, in our investments, in our RRSPs, and we have been sold the American dream our entire life by culture, by media, by everything around us, that you need to be a self-made person, that you need to be self-reliant, that you need to have this and this and this and look like this to have it made. And because we've been sold that and taught that and told that over and over and over again, we believe it. And we rely and believe in our bank account, in our investment, instead of in him. And it's dangerous ground. And so we need to battle against that. But here's what I want to get to in the last few moments this morning. Is God wants us to be generous. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. Did you know that? And I think it's important that as much as we talk about money and stuff, it's important that I share with you his heart this morning in the last few moments, is that his heart for us is to be able to be a blessing, to be able to give, to be able to love on other people, to be able to take care of the poor, to be able to pour into your community where you're planted, to see God move. You know, I loved in their story how the one time they actually went picking garbage. Do you know that God can use us when we actually step out and start doing something? And it actually opens the door to funnel favor and finances through us when we do it. Over and over and over, you see you have to take a risk. You have to take a step. You have to start to move for God to step in and walk with you. Does that make sense? It's just a principle. And it's how it works. And so quickly, where to go? One of the best kept secrets of the principles of prosperity is generosity. This is a quote out of Chris's book. One of the best kept secrets of the principles of prosperity is generosity, because your generosity determines the capacity of the distribution system that reciprocates your investment in the kingdom. So a simple verse to illustrate it is Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured to you. Give and it'll be given to you. All right? All prosperity, money comes from giving. That's not the way the world would tell us, but that's the truth in God's kingdom. All right? If you want to flow in his economy, you give. It all starts by giving. And I love this point in Chris's book. I know I'm saying a lot over his book because I just read it, and so it's in my heart. But he talks about how it's important to recognize that all prosperity comes from giving, because if it was about receiving first, then our poor condition that we might find ourselves in would rely then on someone else coming and giving to us first. But all of us have something we can give. Did you know that? All of us do. And you might say, well, I grew up in a poor family. I have nothing to give. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Look at the verse again. It does not say give money and it shall be given to you. Jesus just said give. Give and it will be given to you. Everyone has something to give. Your time, your gifts, your wisdom, and yes, your money. The second part of the verse is also profound, and it says by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So if you give God a teaspoon of rice, he uses a teaspoon back. If you give him a bucket, he uses a bucket. Okay, simple illustration is a story I heard of a poor guy that was sitting on the side of a road one time with a cup of rice. And there's a big ruckus, commotion, horses, chariot comes up, and out steps a king. You know, crowned with jewels and fancy robes and all this entourage with him. And the king smiles at him and says, could I have a little bit of your rice? And this poor old man is sitting there and he clutches his rice and then he thinks, okay. And so the king sticks out his hand and he counts out 3 kernels of rice, put in the king's hand, and then he puts the rest back in. The king smiles and says, thank you. Pulls it in his pocket, counts out 3 gold coins, puts it in his hand, and off they go. And the poor man, you know, as the guy leaves, throws his cup of rice and says, why didn't I give him the whole cup? You know, there is something about the heart behind how we give and the way that we give that invokes the blessing of God in us, okay? And it's directly proportional. It's just simple. It's like gravity. It's a rule in the Bible. It's going to work. Amen? And so it's so incredibly important that you learn to give with joyfully, that you learn to give with all your heart. And he'll take care of your needs. So I want to read you a few more scriptures and then we're going to close. Maybe I'll just close. I have like 3 more sermons. So I'm actually passionate about this because it's something that God's been doing in my life over the last several years that I've been trying to learn to trust with him. It's really hard to share a lot of personal stories, you know, as a pastor living in this church, you know, but I can say to you that as people have blessed me in my life, it's marked me. And I've learned that in turn, I can mark other people by learning to be a blessing. I was actually reminded of this yesterday. I had somebody text me from Manitoba when I lived up there and said, hey, do you still have that 30-06? And I thought, oh yeah, I do. And someone was wanting to buy it. And so what happened was, years ago when I was in Manitoba, the guys in the church got together out of the blue, surprised me, and gave me like $1,000 to go buy my first gun, okay, which was really cool. And so I was able to go buy this rifle, and it was an incredible blessing to me. And so this guy texted me and said, hey, there's somebody wanting to buy, you know, a gun for their son as a grad gift. And I just said, I'm sorry, I just can't, because that was gifted to me. And it still just reminds me of God's blessing, how people can be so generous. And so it sticks with me. And so a little while ago, we've been trying to teach our kids so as well, just how to flow in generosity. And so when we give them an allowance, when someone gives them a gift of any kind at Christmas, they give. We do like the Craig Hill thing, actually, with Ancient Paths. So we have jars. So they have a jar for money that they tithe, automatically 10% comes off. It's not a question. We'll talk about tithing some other time, but it's what God wants. It's we need to give him something to honor him. We give back from what we have. So we teach them to do that. We teach them to have money that they're going to get to keep, to spend, and we also have a jar for them to put money into to give. So part of everything that they get, they're going to, and also some to save. So they're going to save some, they're going to give some, they're going to tithe some, and then they have what's left over to spend. And so a little while ago, God put on my heart, a guy I've been getting to know in Saskatoon, God put on my heart to pray for them and his family. And so I told my wife and kids, I said, we're going to pray and just ask God, God, what do you have to say to them? And then we're going to put a check in the envelope and bless their socks off. And so we had no idea what they were going through or anything, but we just prayed and blessed them with some money and sent it randomly. And I get this phone call a little while later, and they're both crying in the car, saying how it was just the right timing, and the stuff that God had spoke to us to give to them just confirmed so much that was going on in their heart. And it was really cool to be able to bless them. I got more of it, I think, than they did. And my kids are learning, you know, that you have to learn to give. It's important. It's important to be generous. I remember one time, I mean, even simple things. I was at a gas station, and I was getting gas, and I heard this lady come out. The gas attendant came out to the lady beside me and saying, I'm sorry, your card didn't work, da 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 da. And I heard the lady fretting, like, well, how am I going to pay for this? Da, da, da. So I was going in to pay, so I just said to the lady inside, I want to pay for that lady's gas too. And I had no idea if it was going to be $20 or $100, or I just said, I'll pay for it. And so I paid for her gas, didn't say a word, got in her car, and we're going to leave. And we look back, and I could see the gas attendant had come outside, and she's pointing at our vehicle. And this lady's doing jumping jacks and waving. And, you know, it's just simple things, but that's God's heart, to be generous. Don't hold on to it too tightly. You can't take it with you. But when you release it in love, when you release it as part of his heart, it goes so far. It changes lives. It opens doors. You know, when we... Even things like when we do like the back to school party or things that we put money into. Yeah, it costs us money as a church. But people receive that in love because there's the heart behind it. And it's the heart when you give that impacts people and it allows God to impact you. So I hope that makes sense. I want to pray for you this morning. Then we can continue this some other time. So just with every head bowed and every eye closed, when you wrestle with the idea of generosity, you're wrestling with your identity. The more we understand who we are as God's child, the more we're able to trust him and the more we're able to just let it go and give. And please don't take this all the wrong way. God still wants us to be good stewards. He still wants us to be smart. There's all that side of it. I don't have time to talk about that today, so don't just write that off. And that's not what I'm saying. Just give everything away till you're broke. But be wise, but give. God calls us to tithe, and that's like a non-negotiable in his mind. But then there's, what are we giving towards? What are we doing as a gift to honor, to love, to bless people around us? And that's where the fun happens. So I just felt this morning that I was supposed to pray for you. And I don't even know if I need to know, but if you struggle with fear of lack, if you struggle with that spirit of poverty, I want you to pray. I want to pray for you. And I don't want to embarrass anybody. So I, you know, whatever. But I just, if that's you, would you, I don't know, stick your hands in front of you because I want to pray. And just with every eye closed, because it's nobody's business. It's just you and God. But I believe he wants to bring breakthrough in our church. And I believe he wants to bring breakthrough in our mindset, in the way that we think. See, some of this, when we talk about being set apart, is also having the mind of Christ and learning to think like he does. And that's to be generous and to love and to be able to give. And it's also to be wise, to understand how to produce that wealth, to be able to give even more, to impact his kingdom. So, Father, I break off all fear of lack off of any of us that struggle with it, in Jesus' name. I break off any habits of waste and any habits of making poor decisions with finances. so that we aren't even in a place then to be able to bless and to give. And I pray, God, that wherever there's fear of lack, wherever there's doubt, wherever we're not seeing you as our complete and total source, God, that you would reveal to us those issues, whether there's instances in our past where, God, we've been made mistakes or been robbed or felt like we fell short or whatever it might be. I pray you show us those moments, God, that we could deal with them with you so that we could be free. Free to trust you with everything. Free to trust you with every situation in our life. God, I pray that we'd be able to be a blessing. That we'd be able to flow with your kingdom. God, I pray that you teach us how to flow in your economy, which is definitely not the world's, but that we could trust you for every single penny. It says in Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with wine, good wine. God, I pray for your blessing over every single one of us. I pray, God, that we would not have fear when it comes to money, but that we would trust in you. God, that we would learn how to be generous, that we would learn not to hold and to hoard money, but to give and to use it wisely to further your kingdom. And so help us, God, to learn how to walk in that favor. Help us, God, to have a mindset of the wealthy, God, which is to leave a legacy for our kids, for our grandkids, for generations to come. And I pray that you just set us free, break off anything that is holding us back, God. Because you own the cattle on a thousand hills. You can provide for my needs. You will. You promised me you will as your child. So help my heart to be fully yours. Help me to seek your kingdom with everything that I am, so that you provide everything that I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. I hope that makes sense. And there's a lot more. We need to talk about this more. And I think there's things you need to experiment with. I could tell you a lot of stories in my life how God has just blessed us like crazy, done some crazy miracles. And I feel like it's because we're learning more and more to just give, trust, watch them come through. Bless you. Have an amazing week. Find somebody to bless this week.
Let's end the service with a song.